A strengthening Hurricane Harvey is nearing the Gulf Coast of Texas, and federal officials say they're preparing to respond to the first major natural disaster to occur in Donald Trump's presidency.
There is an acting Homeland Security Secretary in place. The man who held the job, General John Kelly, is now Trump's chief of staff, brought in to manage a different kind of storm, the tempest inside the White House, including this morning on Twitter and all week, the president lashing out today at fellow Republicans by name, today Tennessee Senator Bob Corker. We're going to keep an eye on Harvey, but we start with our political roundtable. So let's bring in Jesse Holland, who covers race, ethnicity, and politics for the AP. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
And Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And Jesse, start with Corker in the tweets this morning. Corker had questioned President Trump's stability and competence after Trump initially didn't call out white supremacists in Charlottesville, and also said there were fine people there with them. Today, Trump tweeted, "Strange statement by Bob Corker, considering that he's constantly asking me whether or not he should run again in 18. Tennessee, not happy." What's going on there?
Well, it seems like President Trump loves attacking senators in their states when their states are in the news. The RNC is meeting in Nashville right now. So the world is, especially the Republican world, is focused on Tennessee right now. So now is the time, it seems, the president takes to go after Bob Corker. It sort of puts Republican senators in a bad position. This is their guy. This is the guy that they went out and campaigned for. Corker, even though he's criticized the president since he's in office, helped President Trump win his election. And now he's facing the attack from the president. It doesn't seem like they can really win with this guy.
Well, and just to quickly, is someone like a Bob Corker in trouble in Tennessee because he's criticized Trump?
My guess is that what President Trump is assuming, that you don't need a Corker to win that seat. A Republican will win in Tennessee. So he feels like he can criticize him and maybe even primary a Bob Corker, and a Republican will keep that seat. The same with the other senators he's criticized, John McCain in Arizona, Jeff Flake in Arizona. He's assuming that a Republican can win those seats, so he feels freer to criticize them. That's what I think is possibly going on here.
Okay. And Beth, any thoughts on your end?
Well, it's been a long week of Trump criticizing members of his own party. He went after Senators McCain and Flake when he was down in Arizona. He's had that feud with Mitch McConnell that's become very public this week. Today, it's Corker. He's not very strategic, it may seem to many, that he would be doing this, that he'd be going after members of his own party in this way. And I think in the case of Corker, it's just personal spite and vindictiveness because he's angry about Corker suggesting that he's not stable. And that was a pretty strong suggestion.
Right. Yeah.
I would argue, though, that by going after members of his own party, as he has done this week, what he's doing is he is setting up the Republicans on the Hill to take the fall if his legislative battles fall apart, if he can't get through anything meaningful between now and the end of this half of year. He's going to be able to say to his base, look, it wasn't me. It was the Republicans in Congress who messed everything up. Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong in that Republicans in Congress are much, much less popular than he is with Republican voters. So he's giving himself political cover to go after these folks and to train sights on them. On the other hand, if he actually wants to accomplish anything, if he wants to get some things done that he can point to as accomplishments, he needs those folks in his camp. So it's a little odd that he is sort of siding with base politics over accomplishment, which ultimately would help the base more than just stoking fights.
I want to turn now to what's happening, obviously, in Texas with Hurricane Harvey bearing down on the state right now and possibly expanding to other places as well. Donald Trump's FEMA director, Brock Long, was asked how confident he is that the systems are in place to respond to what seems to be the first big storm in many years off the Gulf Coast, at least since Katrina.
Let me set expectations. Texas is about to get hit by a major hurricane, so there's going to be damage. Not only are you going to see large-scale storm surge damage, but we're also going to see over the next 3 to 5 days significant amount of rainfall, which is going to cause a great amount of inland flooding. So there's going to be damage. Now, FEMA is already positioned inside both states of Texas as well as Louisiana.
That tape comes to us from ABC. Long is widely praised in emergency response circles. Donald Trump is proposing, though, an 11% cut to FEMA's budget. What are you both going to be watching for from President Trump and his team as well as it handles this storm? Jesse?
Keep in mind that natural disasters are fraught with danger for political candidates. Keep in mind what happened with President Bush and Michael Brown during Katrina, and what happened with Chris Christie in New Jersey when he actually came out and stood with President Obama after Superstorm Sandy. So
let's remind people with President Bush, because it's getting to be history now. With President Bush, it was the good job brownie, but it wasn't.
Right.
The split screen on the TV showed it was a miserable response to Katrina. And then with Chris Christie, he was just a joyous, you know, bro. You know, he was President Obama's best friend, and that got him in a lot of trouble with Republicans.
Right. So that's what we'll be looking for. I mean, because sometimes, especially with local officials, you can't win. You're either with the federal government, which, of course, during good times, people don't want the federal government in their states, or you're turning away the federal government, which in the middle of a national disaster, everyone needs help. So we'll be keeping a close eye on how this affects the politics in Texas when this comes around.
And Beth, one last thing, I mean, just something that we're thinking about looking ahead is that Long, the FEMA director, is looking to limit flood insurance for homes that consistently flood. This is something that the Obama administration was looking for. This is something environmentalists are calling for as well. These homes that are built over and over and over again with taxpayer FEMA dollars, they want these people out of the flood-prone areas. But Trump and his administration could get blamed for that.
Well, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, people should not build and certainly not rebuild in areas of states that are prone to flooding, or they should accept paying very, very high payments for their insurance. It just makes sense from a market standpoint and from a logic standpoint, particularly in this era of climate change where we're seeing these storms getting worse and worse and worse. Now, the Trump administration has cast doubt on climate change. It'll be interesting to hear if any of them will suggest that in any way the climate had something to do with this terrible storm, and whether changes need to be made in where people live and how people live because of this disrupted weather. But in the meantime, I think really what we ought to be looking for is just basic competence out of FEMA, out of the federal government. Trump is very lucky that he has John Kelly now in his close office, the former DHS secretary, who really knows how to manage this type of situation. He will ensure, it seems to me, that Trump gets the kind of information that he needs. This FEMA director, Long, is considered quite good. He's been in federal emergency management in the past. They have the advantage of knowing that this is on its way and getting those resources into Texas, into Louisiana to be prepared. Nobody wants to be compared to President Bush and Katrina in 2005. That is a lesson that every elected official, every politician will take with them forever. You just cannot let the federal government and states cannot let the state government fall down in an issue of that level of magnitude, of people losing their homes, losing their lives because of a terrible storm. So let's all hope that they're very well prepared and that President Trump oversees a very smooth reaction to this.
Something that's not so smooth that came out today back in Washington, we're learning that the economic advisor Gary Cohn drafted a letter of resignation and also met privately with President Trump last week. That was in response to the deadly Charlottesville rally by white supremacists and by Donald Trump's response to that. Cohn is Jewish. He told the Financial Times, quote, "As a Jewish American, I will not allow neo-Nazis ranting, 'Jews will not replace us,' to cause this Jew to leave his job." Does it look like he's going to be staying? Jesse?
Well, what it looks like is that he's saying that he plans to stay on and fight for him from the inside. It really put him in a bad position to have to stand there next to President Trump when he did not denounce the white supremacy and said that there were good people on all sides. But what it seems like he was saying this morning is that he's not going to let the people chanting "Jews will not replace us" to turn around and make him lose his job and have somebody replace him. So he plans to speak out from the inside. That's going to be a tough thing to do, especially in the current climate.
And Jesse, I want to stay with you for a minute because remember Democrats, the other party? We just haven't heard. We hear nothing. And we're reading in today's New York Times, there's a new general slogan, hashtag rise and organize. But deep division on how much to focus on debates over Confederate monuments, which falls into the trap of identity politics. We heard Steve Bannon say, bring it. You know, it's such a complicated matter, and it's seen, as many people in the country, as leaving them out of a conversation. So where are Democrats going here?
It seems to be an interesting conversation going on the Democratic side on how much they need to engage. Because right now, they can really sit back and just watch Republicans argue over this issue. Because keep in mind, most of these Confederate statues are in Republican-controlled states. So there's not going to be any movement unless the Republicans want there to be. So Democrats have to figure out where they want to be and whether it's worth it for them to engage, especially considering the demographics of their party. So we're seeing, especially in the deep South states, we're seeing Democrats saying, of course, these statutes need to go. Our constituency is demanding these statutes need to go. But they can't make any moves without the Republicans' party consent. So that's where the actual arguments are going to be, and the resolution is going to have to come from that side as well.
Yeah. That's Jesse Holland. He covers race, ethnicity, and politics for the Associated Press. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. We do have a big storm heading towards the Texas coast, Harvey, the hurricane. And so that's going to be taking the wind out of a lot of these conversations. We will be paying attention there. But thanks so much for our look at politics. Jesse, Beth, thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.